All right. My topic, assessing measures of allostatic load among adolescents with learning and behavioral disabilities, and I've added a few other rough categories as well as they appear in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. The importance of the problem, allostatic load is defined as a cumulative biological risk or burden caused by acute and chronic stress, wear and tear on the body, coupled with the body's attempt to compensate. It represents a type of situation that involves epigenetic effects over the lifespan, even to the point where identical twins can have differential types of morbidities as a result of allostatic load. The major indicators of allostatic load, as defined by researchers such as Teresa Seaman and Bruce McEwen, one of her collaborators, there are 10 major indicators. Among those include systolic blood pressure greater than or equal to 148 millimeters of mercury, diastolic blood pressure greater than or equal to 83 millimeters of mercury, a high waist-to-hip ratio, total cholesterol to HDL cholesterol ratio that's high greater than or equal to 5.9, and HDL cholesterol alone that's less than or equal to 37 micrograms per deciliter. Here are some additional indicators of allostatic load, at least according to Zeman studies. Glycosylated hemoglobin, urinary cortisol, norepinephrine, epinephrine, and DHEA are other indicators of allostatic load. 8 of these indicators, the highest quartile in the population, are indicated to be allostatic load measures. Whereas two of the indicators, the HDL cholesterol and the DHEA, if the individual is in the lowest quartile, that they are considered to have some type of allostatic load. Now, there is some debate over if these are the most appropriate measures for biological stress or allostatic load. And there are others that I'll describe as well. What they did was to sum the 10 categories for each particular case in the studies that they did with particular populations. And again, they took high scores for the 8 measures I indicated, or the lowest quartile for the other 2 measures, HDL cholesterol and DHEA. High allostatic load scores are significantly associated with increased risk for 7-year mortality. It is a better predictor for mortality and for morbidity than metabolic syndrome. Another interesting finding that McEwen found was that allostatic load is significantly higher if there are less than 3 close friends. A study published in the American Journal of Public Health last year by Geronimus looked at individuals who had allostatic load scores greater than or equal to 4, and they did use one of the National Health and Nutrition Examination surveys. They found that African Americans were significantly more frequent among allostatic load scores greater than or equal to 4 than Caucasians were. Additionally, another study by Alley found that C-reactive protein levels were a good indicator of allostatic load, and because C-reactive protein tends to correlate with inflammatory links to cardiovascular disease. And they find that C-reactive protein is higher among African Americans and individuals with low socioeconomic status. And of course, in this country, these two variables tend to correlate very strongly. Individuals with low C-reactive protein levels have better clinical outcomes regardless of LDL cholesterol levels. And of course, LDL cholesterol is the type of cholesterol we don't want to have that much of. Other researchers think that high homocysteine might be indicate an increased risk for cardiovascular disease and stroke. There is some debate on the role of homocysteine, though. There are studies among persons with disabilities, particular types of disabilities such as mental illness, that few friends and low social support can contribute to stress and higher allostatic load. So it's apparent that the quality of social relationships need to be addressed for persons with disabilities. allostatic load appears to act via the immune system, and there are a number of studies indicated here that that tend to support that particular mechanism. Still, there is debate over the appropriate biomarkers for allostatic load, and so different researchers use different combination of indicators. Interesting study found that internationally, looking at blood pressure by race showed that there was greater variation within races, and that African American blood pressures are not high across nations. It's actually more of a problem within nations and may be more strongly correlated with adverse circumstances such as lower socioeconomic status. The public health ramifications are clearly outlined in Institute of Medicine reports about health disparities in the United States and worldwide for persons with disabilities, the importance of stress and its impact on individuals' quality of life and ability to participate in society is outlined in Healthy People 2010, Chapter 6, Disability and Secondary Conditions, as well as in the International Classification of Functioning Disability and Health. Several researchers in the disability research community, such as Gwen Jones, additionally Stephen Kay, and Suzanne Bruyere's group at Cornell, have strongly documented that persons with disabilities are significantly un- or underemployed compared to the general population. So it would be very interesting to look at levels of allostatic load in this population. So I approached this study looking at the need for distinctive biomarkers of morbidity risk that could be evaluated longitudinally, and specifically for applications to persons with disabilities. So what I decided to look at was probably the best available database for looking at biomarkers, which was the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, at least what's listed in the abstract that was published by APHA. I had data reported there for my initial studies of the 2001-2002 NHANES data, N equals 11,039. cases. However, I decided to take it a little bit further based on those results and to link together data from 2003-2004 with an additional 10,122 individuals. So I'll be reporting both sets of data for you. My focus was on adolescents ages 12 through 19, given that Geronimus had already addressed the adult population. Independent variables include self-descriptors of disability in the patient interview survey, which included attention deficit disorder, learning disability, or being overweight, at least if the physician told them or they reported that the physician told them that. Additionally, looking at issues such as stuttering or stammering and trouble seeing even with assistive lenses. Covariates, the data I reported here, I used gender covariates. I did do some analyses with race ethnicity covariates, but some of the analyses, interesting analyses I'm reporting here, deal with race, and so I used gender as covariates in those particular analyses. Given the availability of data in NHANES, I was only able to use certain measures of allostatic load, definitely systolic and diastolic blood pressures, instead of waist-to-hip ratio, I used a more general measure, body mass index, which is commonly used. Although for body mass index, I did use age-adjusted quartile values across the adolescent years, given variations there, based on the published FELS longitudinal guidelines for body mass index. Looked at serum total cholesterol to HDL ratio, serum HDL cholesterol. Also looked at C-reactive protein and homocysteine. And most importantly, I did look at immune cell counts, lymphocyte counts of various categories, since they are available in NHANES. Demographics, I report those, the raw data for both populations. For all inferential statistics, I did use mobile examination center weights as definitely recommended by the National Center for Health Statistics to be used in NHANES. For the inferential statistics, pregnant women were excluded due to variations in these indicators if they were pregnant, so those individuals were excluded in the inferential statistics, which included mostly analysis of covariance. For the 01, 02 data, these are just the rough demographics in terms of the prevalences of the self-report disabilities, including ADHD, for all individuals just in the 01, 02 sample, generally ranging from 6.7% up to 10.7% for ADHD through learning disabilities, and then the breakdown for ages 12 through 19, which consisted of 2,487 individuals. And this is everyone, including individuals who were pregnant. The incidence of stuttering, stammering was low, and ultimately we didn't find much there anyway. Trouble seeing with lenses, 14.6%, or among this particular population, 11.3%. Have the breakdown by gender and by race, ethnicity, and by education as well. There is disproportionate sampling, but for Hispanic and African-American populations, as well as for individuals in this particular age group, and those were addressed in the mobile examination center waiting for the inferential statistics. Here are the demographics for 03, 04 by themselves, pretty similar pattern. And again, those are on the handouts. If you want to pick up a copy when you go, I won't dwell on these at this point. And then combined, and these particular demographics, I do exclude pregnant females here and from here on with the inferential statistics. All right, for the 01, 02 data, there were few interaction effects. Main effects pretty much centered around ADHD and particular measures such as body mass index, prevalence of lymphocytes, and family income. Although there were no consistent patterns there. Sometimes it was if they did have the did self-report for having that particular disability, and sometimes not. So it could be either way. So there was no discernible pattern here. In terms of interaction effects, there's no surprise there were interaction effects between learning disability and being overweight, or between or race and being overweight. Similarly, interaction effects between race and being overweight for cholesterol and diastolic blood pressure. Now, combining all of the data together, we did find patterns for ADHD and race on a number of the dependent variables listed here. Main effects for race on systolic blood pressure and on cholesterol to HDL ratio, HDL cholesterol, and additionally on white blood cell count. Interaction effects, only found those for ADHD and race, as well as on diastolic blood pressure, as well as on HDL cholesterol, and also on white blood cell count as well. Main effects of race on many of the same variables, particularly being overweight or for race on systolic blood pressure, diastolic blood pressure, cholesterol HDL ratio again, HDL cholesterol. Interaction effects were between overweight and race on HDL cholesterol body mass index. For learning disability and race, nothing much in terms of main effects for learning disability, but there were main effects for race here with higher results for minority populations. Nothing in terms of interaction effects. Okay. And finally, nothing much for stuttering or stammering, either for main effects or for interaction effects. And finally, for vision, really, it was just the same pattern with race, but nothing much in terms of main effects for individuals with visual disabilities. So in conclusion, we really didn't find much, and this really illustrates an important point in these studies. I went after NHANES looking for good biomarkers, but unfortunately there were not good indicators of disability status. And that has been a problem that's come up quite frequently, discussed widely. In the disability section, there were two sessions during APHA, including one that convened about an hour ago, where this it continues to be discussed as a major problem, and it's been discussed all the way back to 2002 when I was a member of the Focus Group 6 for Disability and Secondary Conditions for Healthy People 2010. So it would be wonderful if we could get all of these measures together. Additionally, I didn't look at the number of close friends because that question was not asked for adolescents. Now, I would very much have liked to have seen that. It was significantly different in the adult population, as has already been determined, but the question was not asked for whatever reason. Nevertheless, the conclusions that I found were included that allostatic load measures are mostly insignificant for persons with LD, stuttering, and vision disabilities, as limited as this study is for trying to identify disability. There are significant differences between persons with and without ADHD, but there doesn't seem to be any consistent pattern for whether the person has ADHD or whether they don't. The most notable significant differences in allostatic load occur for persons who are overweight with more negative allostatic load measures and for being African American. And these results support the previous studies, most notably Geronimus' study in the American Journal of Public Health last year. And additionally, these negative allostatic loads do include C-reactive protein levels, so that does appear to be a good indicator for allostatic load. Limitations, most notably the disability self-report accuracy and the items themselves in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, the arbitrariness of disability categories. Additionally, there are probably could be improvements in the way the analysis was conducted in terms of age and developmental stage variations in serology levels. That's certainly an important issue to address. Also, there can be some lack of agreement on allostatic measures, and again, I had basically five measures that were relatively consistent with previous work. What this study adds demonstrates that allostatic load may be relevant to adolescents, particularly with reference to cultural stressors and the obesity epidemic that seems to be widespread across Western nations. African Americans and persons who are overweight are vulnerable to allostatic load. And there's a continued lack of adequate measures for disability in longitudinal studies. And that kind of got worded a little bit oddly. I recommend the ICF or some type of approach using the International Classification of Functioning Disability and Health in helping us to improve disability measures in our longitudinal studies. Thank you.